Why settle for court jesters when you can have three kings? Here are your hosts, Roy, Javari, and Dan. It's the Three Kings of the Midway Podcast.
Everybody, welcome to the Three Kings of the Midway Podcast, or Kings, depending on vernacular. We back like broad stripes, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back. First off, man, I wanna say we got a Bears win, but I want to talk to my man Devore. He made his first trip.
Yeah, man, you know.
To the motherland.
Man, first trip to the motherland, man. As you can see, that's why I can't wait till we start going live, man. We start live streaming and shit. But I got the varsity coat on with the pen from yesterday's game, man. You know what I'm saying? That game was awesome. Not only was it my first trip to Soldier Field, but it was also a record-breaking day. So, you know what I'm saying? I could say I was there to witness history. You know, not many people could say that. But, man, I damn near wanted to cry when I went in there, man. You know, it was... Say what you want about Soldier Field. Say what you want about the grass. That is a beautiful fucking stadium, man. Beautiful. That stadium is beautiful. It looks like a spaceship. It legit looks like a spaceship. And the fact that I went in there, you know.
And history there, too, man.
It's yeah, crazy. It's a lot of history. A lot of history. You know what I'm saying? You got the War Memorial. You know, you got the... I took a picture with the Walter Payton statue. You know, that was my thing. That was my biggest thing because Walter Payton is who I grew up on. You know, who I grew up watching. And then when Walter Payton walked away and called it quits, you know what I'm saying, with Neil Anderson took over at that point. Mm-hmm. You know, so... And Brad Muster, you know, Muster was the fullback, number 26, you know what I'm saying? It's just crazy, man, just to see all that history and feel it when you walk into that stadium, man. It was just nuts. Not to mention, you know, I collected a lot of memorabilia. They gave it, you know, they had tiles there. You know, the first 40,000 fans got tiles and whatnot. So it was live, man, you know, and I had some good-ass seats. For those who watched the game, that first play – where Gooseneck Glennon dropped back to pass and got popped and fumbled. And Bilal Nichols picked it up and ran it back and got knocked out at the two. He got knocked out right in front of me. You know what I'm saying? So I'm sitting right there in that diagonal corner of the end zone. I was hyped, man. That shit was live. So it was a hell of an experience. I definitely want to do it again. Not only do I definitely want to do it again, but I definitely want to get to a point where you know, I'm attending at least, because when the Bears come to Detroit, you know, I'm always there when they play at Ford Field. You know, that's cool and all, you know what I'm saying, repping, but ain't shit like being at Soldier Field. It's electric, you know what I'm saying? And they won. I heard a lot of people say that they go to Soldier Field and motherfuckers lose, you know, so got a good juju going, man. Good vibe. They won, so I was geeked about that. So
well, we ain't had that many wins this year, so.
Right? You know what I'm saying? So hell, the both games I went to, we won. You know what I'm saying? Thanksgiving Day, we won against the Giants. We won. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So that was the thing that I posted on Twitter. You know what I'm saying? I told them every Bears home game I go to, since I got this varsity coat now, I'm going to go ahead and get a pin, you know what I'm saying, and deck the whole side out with pins on games that I attended. So that was live, man. I'll never forget the experience. It was an experience of a lifetime for me. For those who ain't been to Soldier Field, you need to go. You need to go at least one time and check a Bears home game off your bucket list, man. It's definitely something to do before you go.
Yeah, man, it's dope, man. I haven't been to Soldier Field. It's been over a decade, man. I think last time I went, it was a preseason game. The Bears played the freaking Raiders in a preseason game, and we still had Forte. We still had Color. I think Forte ran off like a 80-yard run or some crap, dude. But it was lit, dude. Just like you said, walking through there, seeing everything was crazy. And like you made me remember, like, dude, I need to go back.
Yeah,
I need to take my kids.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
go back.
Yeah,
you know, it's a dope experience, man.
It is. I love Soldier Field, man. That's why I'm one of the few, you know, the people that say you know, don't change it up. Stick with the stadium where it is. I like it. You know, switch the sod out if you need to or whatever. That's my thing. But, you know, the powers that be, they want that stadium. They want a roof. They want all that stuff. And it's cool. I get it. You know what I mean? They want the Super Bowl to be there. Soldier Field will never hold the Super Bowl because we don't know what the weather's going to be like in January or February, right? It's going to be bad. So they'll never hold a Super Bowl. They want some of those types of perks and things like that. So I get it. I get it. You know what I mean? But just me, I just like playing football outside. I like the elements being a factor. I just like it there, man. I just like it. So, you know, that's just me.
Yeah. I was on a BDR podcast last night. And we were talking about that. And somebody, I think it was Brandon who brought it up. I can't remember who exactly, but like you can bring some of those elements, that tradition, into the new stadium, right? You can pay homage to the past in the new stadium. And I think that's definitely something they need to do if we go to Arlington Heights, which it looks like we are going to Arlington Heights, you know what I mean? So it's just something you can do. You know, you can bring some of that history back over there, you know, make it feel like home. But it looked like it's a go, man, on that new stadium.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and I know the next one I go to, I'm going to take my son, man, and have him experience that. But, you know, shit, I mean, that Arlington Heights move probably won't happen for another, 5 years?
Oh, yeah. We got a while.
Got a minute. You know what I'm saying? I just want to soak in all of Soldier Field. Since I know that it's going to be a done deal moving forward, I just want to soak in as much of Soldier Field as I can.
I agree. Yeah.
Just say that you went.
Right, exactly.
Like the old Forum with the Lakers, you know, the Showtime or the old Chicago Stadium.
Right, right. You know what I'm saying?
You know what I mean?
I be talking about that all the time because everybody is on that Bulls tip right now, and it's like, y'all don't know. You know, they talk about how it's loud in the United Center. I'm like, no, y'all don't know what loud is until you've been in Chicago Stadium, bro. It was deafening in there, like, seriously. So,
yeah, man. That's good stuff, man. I'm glad you had a good time. A lot of fans posted, man. They took the kids there, man. And, you know, like, the thing about it is that a Bears win is always good. I think everybody get caught up in the Madden effect where they just want to simulate the season and lose a bunch of games and get playoff. But you still want to win. It's a different feeling when you go to that game, bro, and you win. And you got Bear friends chanting, bro.
Exactly.
So it felt good to get a win, man. So you were there front row seat. What y'all think about the win, man? Versus the Giants. I know it's the Giants, but.
Yeah, it just goes to show that we're not as bad as what everybody say we are. I mean, the Giants are down bad. Now, that's down bad. The Jets are down bad.
Jags
are down bad, you know.
Lions.
Lions are down bad. You know, Bears got some talent, man. You know what I'm saying? Where they try to say that we're deficient of talent. Yeah, we may be in certain areas, but overall, nah, this team has talent, man. You know what I'm saying? Hell, that defensive line, talented. You know, we got one talented DB, you know, and Jalen Johnson. You know, I truly think that moving forward, I think, and I honestly think that Eddie Jackson is going to be part of a trade package. I just see it coming. You know, I'm not bagging on a dude. I just see it coming because he's not worth his weight in gold no more. You know, I think Eddie Goldman, Tariq Cohen, Eddie Goldman, Tariq Cohen, and I think possibly fat ass white hair. I think all three of them may possibly be moved, you know, if not cut. So, and that's the honest to God truth. It saves money. But the game, it was a good win. You know what I'm saying? Kudos to Nagy. You know what I'm saying? He called that timeout after. All right. That's enough. Fuck him. But you know what I'm saying? He called that timeout where, you know,
Robert Quinn
got that sack, you know what I'm saying, and allowed the fans to really give him his due diligence, his due justice, you know what I'm saying, his credence. So that was dope. Aside from that, offense.
He didn't do nothing but what he was supposed to do.
True, but, you know.
That nigga was supposed to do that, and that's it.
True, but, you know, some asshole coaches will just be on to the next play, you know what I'm saying? I trust some asshole coaches would be fuck him on to the next play.
I'm surprised he was even aware.
Exactly. You see what I'm saying?
In his play sheet.
Exactly. So, aside from that, you know, we still suck major dick offensively, and I'm not making this up. We really suck offensively. I don't know why Nick Foles wasn't playing, because if Nick Foles was playing, we probably would have put up at least 40, 50 points. And I'm not making this up. But that offense really could not fucking score. They couldn't get out their own damn way. And all the touchdowns that were scored was damn near served on a silver platter by that defensive line and that defensive front seven, that defensive line. I mean, it was how many sacks? I think the Bears had like six sacks.
Yeah.
Five or six sacks on the game.
Two strip sacks himself.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? How many strip sacks? How many turnovers and you know, damn turnovers that they got or takeaways that the Bears defense got damn near in the opposition's, you know, as soon as they get it, boom, they in the red zone.
That was like a 2018 season, dude.
Exactly. That's what it looked like. It was like, damn. It's like they played with a passion, with their hair on fire. So I love the win because I was there. I got to witness it. I got to see it. But offensively, we fucking suck, man. Just the red rifle. How can you keep trotting that ginger redhead shit out there, man? I'm not understanding that.
Man, it was painful watching that man play football, bro.
Shit.
It was painful.
Which goes
to see him run out of the pocket.
What was the whole reasoning? And I'm sorry, man. Just for that fucking move alone, I will fire Ryan Pace. You had Nick Foles here. Why did you go get him?
They had to, though. What was the better option at that time, though?
Nick Foles.
But at the time, you know, he was in Nagy's doghouse for whatever reason, right? Because he spoke out. Called him out and yelled at him on the sideline. So he was in his feelings. And Nagy wanted to move on from Nick Foles. That's, you know.
Hey, think about this. Yesterday, we had two quarterbacks starting an NFL game that Ryan paid both signed. And he paid Mike Glennon $18 million guaranteed. Yeah. And Andy Dalton $10 million guaranteed.
He had Jay Cutler in the stands.
He had those two quarterbacks in the contract.
Shit, with Nick Foles on the sidelines.
$28 million combined. Yeah. $28 million combined for those two quarterbacks that took the field. Yeah.
That's terrible.
He signed both of those jokers, bro.
But you know what, though? What's worse is we got rid of Glennon after 2017, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's still on our contract.
He's still in the league, right?
Yeah.
Now, they didn't pay him as much as us, but you saw they had negative 10 yards.
Passing.
Total passing yards yesterday. That's what they had.
Passer rate?
So, you know.
But Ryan Pace gave that man $18 million guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
That right there alone is grounds
for termination.
It sounds good, man. But you know, I can't agree with that.
He had a 5.3 passer rating yesterday.
Damn, I think that's the lowest recorded passer rating in history, ain't it?
I didn't like the. I didn't. I'm gonna be honest. I didn't like the Mike Glennon pickup. I didn't like Nick Foles pickup. I didn't like Andy Dalton pickup. Right, but a lot of people got to understand, and this is what I look at. Were there better options that were available? I thought there were a couple of better options. Like, I would have took my chances with Cam Newton rather than Nick Foles at that point, right, last year. But they went with Nick Foles instead, okay? So, whatever. You make that decision, and that's what you chose to do. But you didn't really want to. You didn't really want to bring somebody in here that was really going to legitimately win the job, mm-hmm. because you wanted to give Trubisky one last hope for it, right? So that's why they did that. I didn't like none of those decisions, especially this one with Andy Dalton. But you know, the Bears were at a situation, and I talked about this with somebody before. When you're constantly middle of the road, 8-8, 9-7, 6-10, you ain't getting the top draft picks. You don't have the opportunity to draft a quarterback. So this is what you're left with, the scraps. Unless you go out and you're able to sign a free agent quarterback for big money, but how often do they become available?
Right.
Drew Brees.
You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So these are the guys that you're gonna have to pick from. It's just unfortunate that the Bears have been in that situation for several years. You know what I mean? Because they are finishing 9-9 or 9-7, 8-8, 6-10. You don't get that top pick. They were able to move up to grab one. You know what I mean? They squandered the opportunity when they had the chance at, you know, Deshaun Watson, and that's on them. You know what I mean? But that's what you're left with, man. You're left with that situation. And Andy Dalton was all that was available. nobody thought that we would be able to get our hands on Justin Fields. I didn't think so.
Yeah,
I didn't think so. I wanted him, but I didn't think we would be able to move.
We was on here bullshitting, talking about, damn, what if we moved up and got Justin Fields?
Right.
And we did it. And it was like, holy crap. That was dope.
I thought they were going to get one of those five, but I didn't think it was going to be Justin Fields. I didn't think Justin Fields was going to be around.
I thought we was going to end up with Mac Jones.
Yeah, I thought Mac Jones would trade Trey Lance. Yeah. Because I was like, when the 49ers traded up, I was like, there's no way in hell they're passing on Justin Fields.
And they did.
Thank you. I was like, Appreciate you. Yeah, man, but see, that's the thing. That's the part that sucks, you know, and like I said, you know, we all got that kind of, you know, Dan's probably the most optimistic on middle ground. DeVore is completely off Mitch. I don't think Mitch is completely terrible, but the problem is you had that opportunity to
get
a complete game changer. And that set your organization back when you missed that hard. Like, that was
That set them back five years.
Three balls, two strikes, bottom of the ninth, and everything's on the line for you to win the World Series, and you swing and just hit nothing but air. And that's what they did, and set you back. And that's when you start signing Andy Dalton and trading for Nick Foles, and you know. But that's neither here nor there, man, because Ryan Pace's ass might be out of here.
Oh, his ass is out of here
at the end of the year.
We got one more week, because this time next week we'll be talking about who they got fired.
Yeah, it's gonna be Black Monday.
Yeah, this time next week we'll be talking about how they got fired and whatnot. You know, so.
If they ain't fired next Monday, bro. If they not fired Monday or Tuesday.
Oh my god.
If they talk about waiting until, you know, what they do last week, last year, they waited a week or something like that, and then they had the press conference. If they do that, bro, I'm not even paying attention to it, because
they're not going nowhere.
Niggas just sticking around, and I'm not sticking around for that.
I think if they try to trot that same bullshit out there again next year, I think motherfuckers ain't showing up to games.
It's a wrap, especially for Nagy. Like,
they're gonna show up to games. Justin Fields is gonna be out there.
Who was it? It was an Ian Rapp report. He already came out the report that Nagy done.
The thing that
I'm worried about is
Ryan Pace.
The Ryan Pace thing. I think they're trying to talk themselves into keeping Ryan Pace.
No,
you've heard the smoke, like. They may keep him in some capacity, like they throwing fillers out there. You know what I mean? Like, they want to see how the fans feel.
The only way they can try to keep that motherfucker, he has to bring in a coach that, like, ignites the fucking fan base. But what coach is out there that will do that? It's two guys for certain. One is Jim Harbaugh.
Why don't you come under him?
One is Jim Harbaugh. The other one is Sean Payton. Them the only two that I know Dan don't want to hear it, but them are the only two that would ignite the fan base. Like, oh my God, okay, Ryan Pace, yeah, okay, well maybe he's not so bad. Them the only two coaches I could see, but you bring in some other bullshit, you know what I'm saying? Even if he tried to go get Ryan Day, it's like you're still there, you know, and people will look at it like, okay, he's still here. So,
but the coach too, though, like. Bro, like, you know this man is on the hot seat. You want to work for him?
Exactly. Which will fuck everything up, and because they know he's a lame duck GM.
So let me ask this question, because I'm of the mindset that I don't think Pace should be fired. I really don't.
I do.
And I got my reason. I'm getting to. My question is, what says that he should be fired right now? Is it just the Mitch Trubisky thing? Is it what else is it? Because
for me, I got a laundry list.
I do too.
Go ahead.
The first part, what we just talked about, the Mike Glennon thing.
Yeah.
The Mike Glennon thing, the Mitch Trubisky thing, and even about the Mahomes thing, because I wanted Watson.
It was a no-brainer.
So not only that, he's the one who signed Matt Nagy.
Yeah.
And then that same draft, the Adam Shaheen thing, I was like, I didn't even know who dude was.
Anthony Miller.
The thing about Shaheen, it was like when we drafted McClellan, I didn't know who the hell he was.
Yeah.
I was like, we ain't picking Chandler Jones, we ain't picking Whitney Merciless. Why? Mm-hmm. Who the hell is this kid? Mm-hmm. It was just like the off the wall thing. right? So those things, and he's responsible for Matt Nagy. And mm-hmm. and also, too, the Bears always do this thing where we did it with Lovey. We had the coach and then hired a GM and had the coach interview with the GM. Like, no, bro, if Ted Phillips is out of here and he's going to retire, or you're going to bring in a football guy, that football guy should hire his GM, and then that president or vice president and that GM should hire their head coach. Mm-hmm. And it's just smooth slate. If not, you got the GM, then you hire the team president, then you got a coach. It's too many. It's messy. It's like the Bears need to do what the Bulls did. When they got rid of Gar Foreman, they told John Paxson to go sit in the corner somewhere, and you just an honorary member of the Bulls. And they hired Arnis Karnauskas, and they hired Mark Eversley, and then they hired the coach. And it was all – and then they built the team how they wanted to build it. If not, you got too many vested interests, you know. So you getting rid of – he's on his third coach. He's on his fifth quarterback.
I can't say he's on his third coach because John Fox is not – that wasn't his choice.
That was Ernie Accorsi's pick.
But that goes wasn't back his to choice. Saying,
so you can't attribute. But how can you attribute him? But that's like if you take over your. But if you that's the dysfunction of the organization.
That's what I'm saying.
It's not in on him though. But you're placing blame on him and saying he's on his third coach. He was stuck with that. That's if you go into a job and they say, here, work with this, see what you can do with it. If it don't work out, then figure it out on your way. You see what I'm saying?
Nagging.
All right, that's what I'm saying. I mean, I give him. I've always said from Jump Street, that's his biggest mistake, not even Mitch. Because I could argue that Mitch's numbers were not terrible. He just happened to go in at a bad draft position. If he had gone later in the draft, towards the end of the first round, he would be fine. 68 touchdowns and 37 interceptions. That would be fine for any other franchise. But because you drafted him number two, that's a problem. And because Deshaun Watson was picked, that's the issue. So I get that. I get it 100%. And I'm not making no excuse for that. Those are his two biggest mistakes. But I challenge anybody to match up his draft picks with any other GMs in the NFL. And he's had just as many hits, if not more, than anybody else.
He's had some hits, and I detail that, right?
And free agent signing and trades.
But hold on.
We got Khalil Mack from him.
Right.
Khalil Mack.
He has his hits. I give you numerous props.
My thing is, though, and this is one of the things that I wanted to touch up on, was it really Ryan Pace or was it Champ Kelly? Because Champ Kelly is the one that brought all the talent here. Before Champ Kelly came, Ryan Pace was swinging and missing. Now, people don't want to give Champ Kelly his due justice.
What was he swinging and missing on? You can't – you see, that's my thing.
Okay,
well,
let me finish. Let me finish.
Go ahead. Okay. You can't say he was swinging and missing and don't give me the example.
Okay, well, perfect example. His first draft, who did he select?
Who did he select? You tell me.
Kevin White.
Who did he select in the second – wait. Who did he select in the second round? Do y'all remember?
Go ahead.
One at Hornets Grazoo?
No, that was
that was okay. His second round,
third round was Hornets Grazoo.
Okay, his second rounder didn't pan out either. That was in that draft. That was a horrible draft all the way. So let's just
Goldman was solid, dude. But I think he might have lost his damn passion for the game.
He don't want to play because he rich, you know what I mean? Now. Yeah,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. It ain't talent. He has a talent.
He rich now. So, yeah. You know, and then the following year, you know, look at
Kevin White, Eddie Goldman in the second.
Mm-hmm.
And the third.
He got Amos that draft, too.
Hornets Grazoo. Yeah. Fourth round.
Jeremy Langford right. In that draft. Adrian Boom. Amos.
Okay, he let Amos go.
Yeah, we shouldn't have let Amos
go. You know, he let Amos go. So, okay, it's like he couldn't identify a talent. Champ Kelly came. Champ Kelly, the one who told him, go get Khalil Mack. This is why, because he would make this defense that much better. Okay, Champ Kelly also told him to go sign Akeem Hicks. Free agency.
I don't know about that. I'll give Ryan Pace credit because Ryan Pace was in New Orleans with
Akeem Hicks. But Champ Kelly also was rubbing elbows with the New England Patriots because remember, Hicks came from the Patriots first before he came from New Orleans, but he went to the Patriots first and then came to the Bears.
Yeah. But Champ Kelly's he's a GM candidate.
Exactly.
So that's another one. You got to make a decision.
Let me get it right then. I'm just trying to get it right. I'm playing devil's advocate, right? Mm-hmm. We giving Champ Kelly, all of the good picks and all of the bad ones go to Ryan Pace.
Well, Champ Kelly just came. The year that Pace, we kept saying Pace was hitting it out of the park with the picks. That was the year Champ Kelly got promoted to the position that he was in with director of player personnel and the head of scouting. Yeah, I think so, if I ain't mistaken.
Okay, so 2018. So 2017, right, you had Tariq Cohen got drafted. You got Eddie Jackson drafted. Jordan Morgan, fifth-round offensive lineman. You got Adam Shaheen, and you got Mitch Trubisky.
Out of that draft class, the only two hits was Cohen and Jackson.
Yeah, he was promoted to director of player personnel in 2017. He was hired in 2015 as
there you go.
Pro scout.
So in 2017. So this is his players then, is the ones I named off, right?
When he was
2017, that was the Mitch draft.
Yeah.
But Mitch was definitely all freaking all Pace.
He got promoted to director of
wasn't even the worst pick in that draft. Shaheen was the worst pick in that draft.
Shaheen was the worst pick. Yeah. Yeah.
Mitch can actually play a little bit. Shaheen, I was like, who the
fuck? Right.
So 2018. So 2018, Roquan Smith,
mm-hmm.
James
mm-hmm.
Daniels, mm-hmm. Anthony Miller, your boy.
Mm-hmm.
I.E. Booney way. Right? Bilal Nichols.
Good. He's solid.
And Kylie Fitz. And Javon Wims.
Straight up.
We got three players out that draft. I mean, Anthony Miller was such a disappointment, man.
He was.
He came out hot.
He was good. He was straight when he first came out. And
he's
everybody
a head case, though.
You know, you knew he was a dog in college too. So
didn't you used to be Anthony Miller? Just go up to him like, didn't you used to be Anthony Miller?
You used to be that guy, right?
Used to be, huh?
That man did not study his playbook to say this.
He ain't give a fuck, man. He was just in the league, bro. He was just happy.
Just running routes, bro.
He was just happy to be in the league, man. This wrong route running ass.
2019, David Montgomery, Riley Ridley, Duke Shelley.
We basically got David Montgomery out there. That's it.
Kareth White, Stephen Denmark.
That was a horrible draft, dude.
Stephen Denmark.
That was a dude that like played in like Division IV.
Yeah.
He was just bigger than everybody.
But, yo, he was a seventh rounder, so I'm cool with that. Yeah,
yeah.
Seventh rounders, sixth rounders, they hardly make the squad anyway.
Yeah, I'm picking the most athletic dude in the draft there, bro. Like, you run a 4.4, you run you got a 40, like, yeah, I don't care. I'm just putting you on the team.
Right. So that's what – I mean, I'm just looking at it, and to me, I say when you have a roster and you got to flip that whole roster, that takes a lot. You're going to have some miss, you're going to have some hits.
Right.
And in my opinion – he made more hits than misses. In my opinion, he did.
Right. He did.
With the ability to turn over the roster, because we talked about it and you even mentioned it. We got some talent, young talent on the team.
Yeah.
You said that at the opening, the opening about being at Soldier Field.
Mm-hmm.
So there's talent that's on the team, and that's because of Ryan Pace.
But his misses are catastrophic.
The misses are there. The misses.
That's the thing. Yeah, that's the thing.
To me, the catastrophic miss to me. Is Shaheen and Shaheen and the other one is the other one.
That pick still pisses me off today, bro. I'm sorry.
That's a bad one, man. That's terrible. It's real bad.
Yes, I was on Kittle at Iowa. Yes, I was. I didn't know if I wanted to pick him in the second round, but I was like, Shaheen. Eating burritos from Chipotle.
Yeah, he was fooled into that. You know what I mean? That was a bad one. That was a bad one. And then Trubisky is the other one, right? But I don't necessarily. I mean, because if you go back and just go back and look at some of what people were talking about, and pundits and analysts and all these people that do these drafts and pick apart these players. A lot of players were looking at Trubisky, and he was rising on a lot of people's boards. Okay,
they were wrong.
So
they were
wrong.
I don't know what they were looking at.
Completely wrong. I agree, but you know that's what they do with black quarterbacks. They push those down and they prop the other ones up, right? Yeah. You understand? So, and that ain't no, I'm pro black quarterback or nothing like that. That's just the facts.
Pro good quarterback.
That's just the truth. Yeah.
It's just what happens. You feel
it's
me?
The nature of the business.
You like exactly. Justin Herbert and friggin', you know, you like those guys. No, like when I watched him play, I watched because I knew we were probably going to get a quarterback. I watched. One of the games I watched, this is a better game he played. It was versus Pitt because I was watching Nathan Peterman trash ass play. And they won that game. He played.
Nathan Peterman.
Nathan Peterman.
That's the motherfucker that threw the five picks?
Yeah.
Yeah. First half? Yeah.
God damn.
First half. Just sorry. Throw 10 picks in one game. The record.
Shit.
So, yeah, I watched that game, but I was just like, he's cool. He's decent, but it wasn't nothing like I saw when I saw Watson play, even Mahomes.
Perfect example. Watch this NFL draft. The quarterbacks that they named.
College too. I'm just letting y'all
but
know.
But some of the Mahomes throws he was making, bro.
Yeah, yeah. But Mahomes, look up his numbers. He threw more interceptions than touchdowns in college.
No.
What? Right? Whoa!
No.
Hell no.
One season.
I was gonna say no.
Bruh, hold up. He threw for like 50 plus.
50 touchdowns.
Yeah, 50 plus touchdowns. Yeah. Whoa.
No, hold up. Let me pull it up.
Yeah, dog was killing. He threw for like 54.
His team was just trash.
Yeah, he played with some sorry ass people.
But his last year
at Texas Tech, he threw for like 54 touchdowns to like 11 interceptions.
Well, he threw 41 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, threw for 5,000 yards. And then a year before that, he threw for 36 touchdowns, 15 touchdowns, 4,600. But some of the throws he was making
was insane.
It was insane. I was just wondering. No, I was like,
my bad. He had a losing record in college.
Yeah, losing record. Yeah,
my fault. He had a losing record.
Well, yeah,
in college.
Texas Tech was sorry as fuck.
Yeah, I don't think anybody from his team made the NFL. I think he was probably the only NFL.
Oh, you know what? One dude did.
the wide receiver
that's the wide receiver for the Cardinals now that caught the touchdowns yesterday.
He caught two of them yesterday.
That was Patrick Mahomes' teammate.
Yeah, it was.
He kept getting hurt though, and Cliff Kingsbury had told him. He had told him, you know what I'm saying, if you stick with it and you stay at it, you know, you'll have a spot on my 53 in the NFL.
Yeah, that was what it was.
Dog balled out yesterday.
Yeah.
Good way. Hey, shout out to Cliff Kingsbury for that, man. You know what I'm saying? I mean, but that just goes to show that a lot of cats, when they come into the league, you know what I'm saying? A lot of the cats that's in the league, man, that shit is off who you know.
Exactly.
That's who you know. That's everywhere in life. It's who you know. You know what I'm saying? Because if he didn't know nobody, he wouldn't have got that opportunity. He went out there and caught two touchdowns.
And then, yeah, exactly. He get most credit because you got to take advantage of your opportunity.
You're damn right.
You can ask for that opportunity, and when it comes, you can squander it.
Absolutely.
Or you can seize it. You know what I'm
saying?
So he was able to grab it and take hold of it. So, you know, shout out to him, too.
Straight up.
But we got Robert Quinn, man. I know we gave Robert Quinn a lot of heat last year.
Yeah, we did.
I mean, people say, well, what's up now with Robert Quinn? No,
nah, don't start. Yeah, don't start.
He got two sacks, and one of the sacks he got was like the first game of the year, the first play he ever played, and then he didn't get another sack for the rest of it. He got one more
right.
sack.
And it was, oddly, it was against the Giants. Remember, his first sack was against the damn Giants.
Yeah.
His strip sack, actually. His strip sack fumble was against the Giants last year. And
two sacks last year.
Two.
Yeah, two. So he deserved the heat. I don't know if he was hurt. We mentioned that. We said we don't know if he's hurt. He got the foot issue.
Yeah.
Nerve issue. And we
drop.
Said
what they call a drop foot.
Yeah. But obviously something was wrong with him.
Yeah.
He don't look like the same player, bro.
His bend on that corner. His bend like on that corner is insane, man.
He's like Neo.
That bend is like
shooting the bullets at him.
Yeah. That bend is crazy. And it's allowing him to turn that corner and get them sacks. He's at 18 sacks on the season. Let's say he gets two more this upcoming Sunday against Minnesota, right? He can finish the year with 20 sacks. Why is he not in the running? I don't give a damn about his team sucks. So what? Defensive player of the year is an individual accolade, okay? I don't give a damn what they saying. It's an individual accolade. So if it's an individual accolade, that means that he's one of the best defensive players in the damn league. He should be up for defensive player of the year. Why isn't he? Is sacks not a cared about stat? Because if when TJ Watt was getting them, y'all was having throat babies all day, every day.
And these are legit sacks, bro.
Yeah.
Legit sacks.
Yeah.
Like Robert Quinn, I mean, he don't have Khalil Mack on the other end demanding a double team.
Exactly.
He is eating, bro.
I can only imagine what that defensive front is going to look like with a healthy, finally healthy Khalil Mack that doesn't have any nagging injuries and then a healthy Robert Quinn.
Hey, but time out. Bears Twitter want to trade everybody, bro. They want to trade both of them.
Well, you know, Bears Twitter don't know half. They don't know they asshole from a hole in the wall, bro.
That hot second round pick you may get for Robert Quinn is not going to replace his production.
We were only talking about trading Robert Quinn when he wasn't productive.
That's I doubt you get that for him too, man. I know he's had a great season, but he is 31 years old.
Damn right.
He's owed a lot of money.
Yeah.
He's more valuable to you as a Chicago Bear than he is to another team. Facts. You're not going to get a third round pick or something to replace that production.
Facts.
Because
you got to look at it like this. You got to look at his track record, right? And I'm not banging on Robert Quinn, so, you know, whatever. But I'm just speaking facts. He balls out and he does well whenever it's a situation that he's in a contract year.
Yes, sir.
And while this is not a contract year, this is a year that if he didn't ball out like this, right, you run the risk of possibly getting cut in the offseason because Bears can do away with your contract at that time.
Preach.
So because of that, yeah, you balled out. I'm not saying that that's the only reason he balled out, because I give him credit where credit is due. But at the same time, and this speaks to the question that DeVore posed, in my opinion, just my opinion, once again, his sacks aren't coming at crucial moments in the game. They're not game-changing plays.
Yeah.
He got a lot of them, and I give him credit, all due respect for that. But it's not coming. It's just like, you know, we'll get into this a little bit later as well, Roquan Smith, the situation there. If you don't have these sacks and these plays at the right time, then it goes unnoticed. You know what I'm saying? It goes unnoticed. It's what they say, garbage time, right? Like somebody could be in the game, and LeBron gets accused of it all the time, being in the game in the fourth quarter when they up, you know, or, you know, when they up 20, and he's still in the game at 2 minutes pumping threes.
I'm gonna play devil's advocate to that. Okay. What game have we played that really meaningful this year to make an impact play at the right time?
The first time.
Being the ass beat the whole game.
Nah, actually, we was in that one. I say Green Bay the first time. I say the San Francisco game. Hell, it ain't too many games we got blew out.
Yeah, we've been in games, but the offense, what are the offense scoring? I don't even know what the offense is putting up right now. 15 points a game?
Probably barely scratching 15, 16 points a game.
It's a little bit higher now. We had a couple of weeks back to back. Yeah, we might be at around 19 now.
Yeah. Right.
But shout out to Robert Quinn, man.
Robert Quinn, though.
I still think Khalil Mack is a better football player than Robert Quinn.
Of course.
He's good at what he does at rushing the passer. And the thing about it is, if you like, I want to say this caveat too, because I see this a lot on Bears Twitter, talking about allocating money to one side of the field versus the other. No, man, don't let the Bears slip. The Bears got enough cap. They got like $40 million in cap space without even cutting anyone.
They got money.
Without restructuring anyone.
Yeah.
And that's keeping money. Robert Quinn. That's keeping Khalil Mack.
Yep.
That's keeping even Eddie Jackson. You still got enough money to go out and get you a wide receiver, a couple wide receivers.
A left tackle.
You can go out and spend some money. You got the draft capital. You ain't got a first-round draft pick. You still got a second and third. Don't let them dupe you into thinking, oh, we're going to cut all these players. We're going to allocate money. No, you can do both. Look at the good teams. LA Rams, the Bucks.
They find ways.
The Packers.
They find money.
And they good at it, man. They're good at it. These owners, these GMs, they're good at fooling the fans into believing that, hey, we ain't got money, we can't spend it. Where you think these teams come up with this money? They make it available if they need it.
Absolutely.
Straight up.
So don't let people talk you into, we can't keep this guy. I see that. So it frustrates the hell out of me, because I'm like, then how the hell are all these other teams doing it? And if you hire a new GM and president and they can't do it, you hired the wrong person. We going to fire their ass in 3 more years anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You got a quarterback making pennies.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
How do y'all feel about the comments made by Owen Krutz about moving forward and how he would move Larry Borum inside to guard to take James Daniels' position because he feels that we could move on. I say re-sign James Daniels.
No, I think he said keep James Daniels. He said
no,
if you
no,
can
no.
sign him, sign him.
He, yeah, he said if you can sign him. But he was like, you know, if you lose him to free agency, then take Borum, move him inside to guard, and then go and take your money and find you the best left tackle that money could buy, and then take Tevin Jenkins and move him to the right tackle. And he said keep Cody Whitehair and keep Mustafa. I was like, what the fuck? But you know, you would think, like, come on, man, Mustafa's been awful all year.
I think he said something different than that, bro.
Well, let me tell you about Mustafa. I'll let you go, Dan. I just wanted to throw this caveat. He trains Mustafa.
That's why.
He's close with Mustafa. Mustafa goes to Olin Cruz gym and lifts weights with him, and he teaches him the technique. So just whenever he speaks about Mustafa, he's a little biased. Go ahead, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he trains with him and stuff like that. But, I look at the situation and I say, I think he was speaking of signing him back. I think he was really speaking of going forward with those three and having Borum
kick him in the guard.
If you didn't kick him in the guard, just letting him, I guess, be a swing guy or something. Yeah, because he said it a couple different times. I saw two different clips where he was talking about it. Three different clips actually where he was talking about it, and. You know, I don't know, man. I would say that you definitely need somebody else at guard. I would let Cody Whitehair go.
No, I would
and the
too.
Reason being is because mm-hmm. he's a little longer in the tooth. Mm-hmm. And you see what his ceiling is. James Daniels is still young.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? His ceiling hasn't been reached yet. He still has potential, in my opinion. So I would do what I can to sign James Daniels back.
But I'm not gonna break the bank.
I don't think he's going to break the bank, though.
No, he ain't going to break the bank. He won't break the bank at all.
No.
It'd be some sorry-ass team like the Giants or the Jets willing to give him what we ain't willing to give.
$15 million per.
You know?
Well,
like,
what are the Bears willing to give, though, is the question. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Depends. Now that goes back to the new GM.
Yeah, it comes to the new GM and new management and what they evaluate his stock as. Right. That's why I'm really, really on the tip that they're going to look at Eddie Jackson like, man, you costing us more than what you worth.
That's debatable, though.
It's very debatable. But, you know, it's like, okay.
I don't know if you can, though. Like, his cab hit.
Yeah.
You won't get a box of peanuts for his ass. I'm sorry.
Right now, yeah. You know, that's why they just trade him for a draft pick.
Let me ask y'all a question. When it comes to Eddie Jackson, right, what was his best season?
18, of course.
18.
Why was that his best season?
Because he had a thumper next to him where he can ball hawk.
No, but what made him great, though? That ball hawking, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
But he had six picks. So he had six picks in 2018. In 2019, he had two, and he hasn't had one since.
2017, he was legit, too.
2017, yeah, he
had
two.
A couple fumble returns.
He's
touchdowns.
Got 10 on his career. He had two in his first year, mm-hmm. six as a second-year player, and two in his third year. And then since then, he hasn't had nothing. The next 2 years, he hadn't had nothing. So the question, but his tackles have gone up. So the question to me is the front, bro. The front still needs to be fixed.
Yeah.
You got to give – you for him to be able to do what he does, it takes things. And this is why I talk about tackling with Eddie Jackson, because everybody wants him to be this tackler.
He's not a tackler.
In 2018, he had 50 tackles. This year he got 71. You see what I'm saying? So what does that mean? That other teams are able to get the ball off. You know, yeah, Robert Quinn got 18 sacks. But for the most part, they're okay with pressure in the backfield. They don't get that much pressure. And some of the sacks come late from Robert Quinn, too. I'm just going to be real. It ain't like he's getting in there right away. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not banging on Robert Quinn. That, you know, he did what he did. But Richard Dent did it in 10 games. I'm just going to tell you that right now.
Yeah, that's the absolute truth.
He started 10 games and did that.
That's the absolute truth. But Eddie Jackson and his tackling, everybody mentions Roquan and tackles so much, but Eddie Jackson and his tackling, where's the linebackers? Where are the linebackers? And that's my question. If your safety has to make that many tackles, your linebackers.
That means you're not a good team. That means you're not a good defensive
team. Yeah, that means your linebackers are getting ate the fuck up.
Yep.
So for those that are listening, you want to sit up here and you want to talk about Roquan and his tackles. They're, like I said, 10 to 15 yards down the field. That's where the majority of them come from.
to me, the Bears are not a good defensive team.
At all.
No, they're not.
At all. You could thank Desai for that.
Alec Ogletree. Let me check. Because that's his running mate. He got, let me see.
He's second on the team in tackles.
He got 83. 54 solo.
Mm-hmm. And then what? Eddie Jackson is next, right? At 71?
I think Eddie Jackson.
That's a damn shame. That's right. Yeah, and whenever you're tackled, right up the gut.
Yeah, when your safety's got that many tackles, you're not good.
Yeah, at all.
They should be, like you said, they should be having 40, 50.
Exactly.
And what do people complain about with Eddie Jackson? He missed some tackles. Mm-hmm. So imagine if he made all those, he'd be leading the team in tackles.
Damn shame.
And that's not good because he ain't
right. Getting stiff.
You don't want your safeties leading your team in tackles.
He's a skinny dude.
Getting stiff.
He have bird chest.
That's not what you want.
Getting stiff.
No, football field.
Yeah, and we could, like, the offseason, man. This is going to be, I'm telling fans, man, this is going to be a crazy offseason, bro.
It's going to be fun,
like,
man.
It's going to be fun because before we even get to the personnel, you got to hire front office people.
Yeah, exactly.
Coaching staff.
Exactly.
And then they got to evaluate the players on the team. But Eddie Jackson, the problem with Eddie Jackson, his salary is jacked up for next year. Nobody's going to trade for him. Only thing is you're going to get a draft pick for him. Like, people might make you send a draft pick to take him because his contract – he's owed so much money. Why would I want Eddie Jackson?
And you gotta, like I said, you gotta have the right system for him to benefit. You gotta have a front seven that's gonna apply pressure with
and a thumper next to him.
And you gotta have a guy who plays down into the box.
It's too much shit you gotta have in order for him to be who he is. Therefore,
and they also gotta stop putting him as strong safety too. Yeah. I keep seeing that over and over. It's like, why? What are you doing that for?
Yeah.
Oh, they move him over to strong safety and bring Bush in and put Bush at free safety.
So he can get
that
burned.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
And Bush is a better hitter than Jackson.
Yeah, he is.
He can't do much else. That's but I'm looking at Eddie Jackson. His cap hit for 2022 is $15 million. Mm. If they cut him June 1, they could save $6.1 million, but it's going to cost them $8.9 in dead cap.
No, they're not.
You know what I mean? Like, the next year he's owed $17. Now, you can cut him June 1st. And he's due, you'll say $13 million, he'll cost like $4 million on dead cap. So I think next year is his last year unless he steps it up. Right. He ain't worth no $17 million.
So my question to y'all three moving forward, because again, we know that it's gonna be a new regime, it's gonna be a new head coach, it's gonna be a new president of player ops, it's gonna be a new general manager. All that aside, don't give me don't give me two candidates, don't give me any of that. Give me your top number one candidate you would love to see coaching the Chicago Bears and why.
Top candidate for me? Can I go realistic?
Realistic.
But I don't think he's realistic. Realistic?
That's mine.
That's available, like, but I don't know if that's realistic, right? So that's what I'm saying.
Anything is realistic because anything can happen.
I would say him, but I don't know how realistic, like, what's available, who we can actually hire. We ain't got to pay somebody out. I would say Todd Bowles.
Okay. Right?
I would say Todd Bowles if I can't have Jim Harbaugh. And then the reason why is because we're the Bears, bro. Like, I'm tired of trying to act like we're the St. Louis Rams. We're the Chicago Bears, bro. We defense, we LB. Sure, we got Justin Fields. I think that's another wrinkle. We play defense, bro. We hit you. We run the ball. Oh, and now we got Justin Fields that can throw for 4,000 yards and 30 touchdowns. But our identity still needs to be running the football, playing good defense. I know it sounds old school and people want to throw the ball 150 times. Nah, we're the Bears, bro. Todd Bowles is a leader of men.
Okay.
He's somebody, when he stands before you, he speaks, he demands respect. And that's what this team lacks, bro. Matt Nagy, look at these players, bro. They're undisciplined. They're getting penalties. They're lining
every
up off sides. You know,
every
the wide receivers, they ain't checking with the side judge. They're getting, neutral zone infractions. Like, what is this, bro? You at the bottom, we have talent. If we had discipline on this team, we would be a playoff team. With the talent we have, we would have won 9 games alone.
At least.
Just based off discipline. The Pittsburgh game comes to mind. All these penalties, guys lining up Baltimore. I want a guy like that. And I want a guy who can go through his cell phone. I would say Rolodex, if this was back in the day, his palm pilot, his pimp pilot. He can go through his contacts and he can hire an offensive coordinator. He can say, yeah, I'm going to hire this guy's offensive coordinator because I got the connections. I don't want somebody who don't have connections like Matt Nagy. You hire, like, the thing about Josh McDaniels and Matt Nagy, they leave guys like Andy Reid and Bill Belichick. They don't let you take any assistants. Mm-hmm. They haven't been anywhere but this system. They don't have any other connections outside that system. So when they come to your team, they're like, I don't know who to hire. Luckily, Matt Nagy had Vic Fangio on the defense. He had a whole staff that he didn't have to worry about. This man was about picking random players to pick on the offensive staff. Mike Helfrich, he know this guy from freaking Adam. He had to hold over Dave Ragone. He ain't know no one.
Yep.
Henry Highstand, he never worked with him. I want a coach that's going to come in here and be like, I'm going to put this guy at OC. This guy's my offensive line coach. This guy's my defensive coordinator. This guy's my special team coordinator. I'm ready to go right now, like Bruce Arians. Bruce Arians, when he interviewed, he told the Chicago Bears, I know who my entire staff is going to be right now. You hired me, it's all done. It's an all-star team. And we said, no, we're going to pick Mark Trestman.
Well,
offensive guru.
Well, I mean, in all honesty, man, you know, Bruce Arians is Matt Nagy before he got Tom Brady. And that is the honest to God truth. So we can keep it a buck. If we really keeping it a buck, Bruce Arians is Matt Nagy, because his fucking offense wasn't working. It wasn't working with Jameis when he was in Tampa Bay. It damn sure wasn't working in Arizona once everybody caught on. That shit wasn't doing nothing.
No, I don't agree with that.
What did he do? He got ran out of Arizona. Did he not? He got ran out of.
Hey, coaches get fired. Eventually, he's gonna get fired.
They had success down there, though.
Yeah, Chicago had success too.
Yeah, he had more success.
I'm saying is they had similar success, bro.
But 10-6, 11-5, 13-3.
Yeah, that's way more.
We had 1 year, and when he ran the Colts, he was 9-3 in that year.
And we got into a playoffs with an extra team in there. You know what I'm saying?
We only got one double digit win season.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, he ran off three.
But it wasn't.
I mean, I give him props for that.
It wasn't working, so he left. You know what I'm saying? And we ain't talking about the Tampa Bay years. We talking about the Arizona years.
Yeah, he went mediocre. He went 7-8, 1-8, 7-9.
See what I'm saying? Fired. And the only reason he got good down there in Tampa Bay, it was because of Tom Brady.
But bro, we know you need the quarterback. You need the quarterback.
Hold on, Dan. What was the record before Tom Brady arrived in Tampa Bay?
It was 7-9.
Okay, what was the records in Arizona?
10-6, 11-5, 13-3, 7-8, 8-8. He got fired on the 8-8 season.
Yeah, 7-8, 8-8, right? And that was after Kurt Warner had his magical season, correct?
He only had one losing season in Arizona.
No, not Kurt Warner. Who the hell was his quarterback when he was in Arizona?
Carson Palmer.
Okay.
Yeah, he only had one losing season in Arizona. 7-8, 1.
And then he had 8-8 the year before that, right?
Then 8-8 next year. Okay. Then he had a losing season in Tampa Bay, 7-9.
Mm. Was he fired or did he just leave?
Nah, I think he was on the verge of being fired, so he just left. Remember, that's when all that stuff. But didn't he leave because he said it was health reasons or something?
Yeah, I think he wanted out of there.
Yeah,
didn't he have Josh Rosen, dude? Like, yeah.
Got Rosen. And then
he wanted to get up out of there at that point.
And actually, when Bruce Arians was in Arizona, we whooped his ass. Remember that?
But Bruce Arians is a good coach, man. I ain't gonna take nothing from him. And yeah, you know, Brady did his thing, but let's not act like they didn't have success before he got there. They had two Pro Bowl wide receivers. Both of them wide receivers made the Pro Bowl.
Yeah.
Both of them went over 1,000 yards receiving and, you know, what, 100 catches or whatever.
Yeah, they had
Jameis. Jameis had 30 plus touchdown passes, but he did have 30 interceptions. Mm-hmm. That was the problem. Cut down on the turnovers and you win four or five more games.
Yeah, because they were 7-9. Exactly. 7-6.
It ain't that bouncing big of a deal.
So, Dan, who's your coach? One coach.
So, my coach, my one coach, and a lot of people ain't going to agree with me, but I've been consistent on it, is Marvin Lewis. And I'm going to tell people why the reason I would choose Marvin Lewis is because he's done more with less that I've seen most coaches be able to do. In Cincinnati, he was never able to get – he was never given – you know, all the weaponry and all the talent that he needed. He did get guys who had checkered pass, a la Pac-Man Jones, Vontaze Burfict. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Guys like that who were pretty talented. They weren't top-notch talent, but they had checkered pass, so you had to constantly babysit these guys. He did a good job of keeping the guys in line, in check most of the time, right? He helped a lot of guys. And if you look at his players, all of them swear by him. TJ Husmanzadeh, Chad Johnson, you know what I mean? They love Coach Marvin Lewis, right? So he wasn't given that. The facilities were bad. That's why they can never get free agents to sign there. They practice underneath the
freeway.
For God's sake. You know what I'm saying? So, you know what I mean? He was dealt this card, and he was with this bad squad, this bad organization, and a cheap owner. But he was able to get that and make
Andy it, Dalton, you know, as his quarterback. Yeah,
with Andy Dalton as your quarterback, right. You know what I mean? For years. And why could he get Andy Dalton as a quarterback? Because they couldn't get nobody else. You know what I'm saying? They weren't going to draw nobody else to come to Cincinnati. So it is what it is. Not only that, though, but I believe Marvin Lewis will also hire his staff, similar to what, you know, Roy was saying. He'll hire a staff and let guys do their job. He's not going to be meddling. He's going to be the leader. He's going to hold people accountable. The defense will be okay because he's a defensive coach too, right? He's always had a good defense on the defensive side of the ball. But he's not going to meddle in that either, though. You see what I'm saying? And then he'll hire a good offensive coordinator as well to put and let him do his thing. So I would say Marvin Lewis, I think he's earned it. I think he should be given another opportunity to coach in the NFL. And, you know, with the cards that he was dealt in Cincinnati, everybody bangs on him. But, man, it's hard to do better than what he did in Cincinnati. I'm just going to be real. Before he got there, they were perennial, terrible, just a pathetic franchise before he got there.
I remember when Scarface, shout out to The Diary, one of the greatest rap albums.
Yeah.
He said, I lost more motherfucking homies last year than the motherfucking Bengals lost last year.
He did.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Man. Yeah.
Hey, real talk. My coaching pick, and I respect both of y'all coaching picks. My coaching pick is Jim Harbaugh. And the reason, and it's realistic because, you know, and I say it's realistic due to this matter, right? This is like, and I posted it on Twitter before, but I can go into depth now. Schools that are of a higher learning institution, right? For those who are not familiar with the Midwest, just in case you're on the West Coast or you deep South or whatever, University of Michigan is on the same parameters as Harvard, Princeton, Yale, Northwestern, Notre Dame, you know what I'm saying? Northwestern, Notre Dame, Michigan, right? Those are what we call the Ivy Leagues of the Midwest without it being on the East Coast. You know, these are real high prestigious academic schools where they not letting anybody in their doors. And that goes for athletes too. So as an athlete, you got to maintain a certain GPA. Right. Mm-hmm. In order to even be considered for an athletic scholarship. Mm-hmm. Right. OK.
In high school. By
in
the
high
way.
School.
Not yeah. just. Yeah. Your high school.
In high school.
Yeah. You got to be. High.
And I'm speaking from personal experience. My high school GPA was a 3.8. All right. And I had AP classes. You know, I had advanced college prep courses. Of course, you wasn't taking anything else, you know. So. I hate to say this, but. The Alabamas of the world, everybody want to know, well, Alabama, they so loaded. Well, that's the reason why they loaded, okay? It's a reason why Vanderbilt, another high prestigious university that, you know, has high academic standards, it's a reason why they suck in football.
Yeah, Georgia Tech.
It's a reason why Georgia Tech sucks in football. It's a reason why these schools of high academic prestige, they're not that good. Because you're only getting so many, you're only going to get so many 5-star athletes. I hate to say this, folks, but a majority of your 5-stars that are blue chip, can't miss recruits, they don't have it all upstairs. They know how to do one thing, and they know how to do it very, very well. And that's play football.
I football.
I football, coach.
I football, coach. For God's sakes, wipe his mouth. Yeah, you football. You got it. Yep. Jesus Christ, where they find these kids. But no, this is the honest to God truth, though. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of people don't understand this point. So, you know, somebody tried to get into it with me on Twitter talking about, oh, well, Georgia, check out Georgia's academic standard. They're real close.
No, bro.
bruh.
Georgia, Texas, where is
yeah, more everybody knows this. Who doesn't know this?
Georgia,
a lot of people, obviously.
Georgia was ranked 49th, 49th academically. Michigan, 23rd. Okay, so I was like, it's no comparison here. You know what I'm saying? This shit here is night and day. So just keeping it a buck, moving forward, right? It's a reason why Alabama can load up on 5 stars. It's a reason why Georgia can load up on 5 stars, because their academic regimen is not as rigorous. Mm-hmm. So going back to what I was saying, you know what I'm saying? Because going back to what I was saying, so if you're looking at it from a Notre Dame standpoint, if you're looking at it from a Michigan standpoint, you're never going to be able to compete with these schools. And these hicks down south know this shit. You can't compete with them. You want to know why? Because for every 5 star you get, we get 20. Mm-hmm. Because our academic regimen isn't as strenuous as yours is. So you're not going to get the athletes. We're going to get them all. And we're just going to produce a factory farm here. And that's what it's going to be, you know. Yep. And it's crazy. And it's like people don't understand that. And that's the crazy part. That's the crazy part of college sports. Brian Kelly realized this going into his last season at Notre Dame. I'm never going to win a national championship here. Mm-hmm. Because I can't get the recruits. Mm-hmm. Okay, I can't get the recruits. Jim Harbaugh noticed after the Georgia game, he felt defeated. Like, goddamn. I'm only going to get these motherfuckers so far.
I've seen Bear fans using Michigan's losses in bowl games as an excuse not to hire Jim Harbaugh. And it pisses me off because I'm like, you do not understand this game.
Exactly.
You are not going to run in there. I don't care if you, bro, you can be Lou Holtz, Nick Saban.
I don't give a damn how good your coach is.
You coming in there and playing Georgia with those players on Michigan, you going to get spanked, bro.
Exactly.
Ain't no game plan. Bro, did you see how they were tossing them Michigan players, bro?
Yes. Yeah. And then that's the crazy, but see, this is the crazy thing about it. And this is what people don't understand. Let me tell y'all something, folks. I don't give a fuck who your coach is in college football. You could have Bear Bryant, him fucking self, on there calling plays. At some point in time, that athletic ability is going to take over. Mm-hmm. Okay, I don't give a shit how good your coach is. The players got to play.
Yeah,
he ain't out there throwing the coach. Jim Harbaugh ain't out there throwing interceptions. He ain't out there getting burnt. He ain't out there missing tackles. He ain't out there breaking tackles and taking off to the damn house.
If you got five stars and I got one,
who's gonna win?
You had the advantage, bro.
Who's gonna win?
You may get lucky.
Bottom line,
maybe some college.
And it happens in every single conference, bro. So absolutely. You know what I mean. You got guys like you said. I mean, that's a good point. Harbaugh, Omar White, look at it and say, you know, I can't.
I gotta go. I did all I can.
One of my boys, he played for Georgia State, and he said one time they played Georgia, and this is a big. This dude's like 6'5", like 280, bro. He said the dude lined across him was 6'6", 350, all muscle, and he was just like, what am I supposed to do? He was like, the whole game, he was getting his ass blown up, dude. Just, he's like, there's nothing I can do. He's like, well, you practice your technique. He's like, I do my technique. He's still not.
Flat like, out.
There's nothing you can do.
Can't do nothing.
That can't do
it
nothing.
It is what it is. You know, so I think Harbaugh is realizing I can only take them so far. Just like any other coach would. I can only take them so far. Okay, at what point in time do I say, all right, look. You know, and that's what a lot of people don't understand now. That's why he wasn't getting past the Ohio States. Oh, well, he keep losing Ohio State. Well, they got how many fucking top two recruiting classes they got on that goddamn roster?
Half their team go to the NFL.
Exactly.
It pissed me off when they said, I had a thing in the 8 years that the BCS been alive. You know, in the BCS era, Notre Dame is 0-8 now. And it's like, yeah, because they go in, you know.
Yeah,
they go in and it's Alabama. Yeah, you know, we got a decent team. You know, you can make it through the season. But when you get to the playoffs, yeah, it's a whole different
thing. Yeah.
You playing Clemson, you playing Alabama, you playing Ohio State, you playing Georgia.
Georgia.
LSU.
And that's the crazy thing. You know, I had an argument with some asshole on Twitter. And those boys in Michigan don't know how to play football. Excuse the fuck out of me. Now that pissed me off, right? Because I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? Do you not know that your Heisman Trophy winner, before the last two that you got, your only sole Heisman Trophy winner was from fucking Michigan, you idiot? Did you not know that? And Mark Ingram Jr. from Flint, Michigan? Stupid motherfucker.
And where did he go?
He shut up. Exactly. And he went to Alabama.
Which school did he go to?
You know what I'm saying? He chose and he went to Alabama from Michigan. A lot of them don't understand that. They just think because kids they play for Alabama, they from Alabama. No, you stupid motherfucker. They from all over the goddamn country.
California.
Exactly.
You think Najee
Tua from California.
Yeah. You think Najee Davenport is from fucking Oakland, California.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Your star, one of the star defensive linemen for fucking Alabama is from Detroit, Michigan, you dumbass. Did you not know that? Like, this shit is, like, beyond belief to me. It's like, you really think they all from the South, huh? No, motherfucker. They just play down South. But see, the fucked up thing about it is, and which brings back to the NIL name, image, likeness, all that shit, right? Before name, image, and likeness came out, these motherfuckers, there's no fucking way you're going to come to me in country-ass Tuscaloosa, Alabama, and I'm in motherfucking Detroit, Michigan, or I'm in goddamn Los Angeles, California, or Miami, Florida, which a lot of they fucking players come from.
Oh, Jack.
A lot of Alabama stars fucking from man, all these motherfuckers from Pahokee and Miami and motherfucking Fort Lauderdale, all these motherfucking D-backs and wide receivers that are ridiculous, they came from Florida. Them Miami recruits. Okay? Them Miami recruits that's going to Alabama. There's no way you're telling me that Najee Harris and all these motherfuckers from Oakland that's supposed to go to USC, there's no way before NIL came out that you was telling them come down to Alabama just because we win. They'll tell you suck dick. No, get out my face.
Bama had a rough period. Like a lot of people, like, they tell me now, like, oh, you're a Bama fan. Like, bro, I've been a Bama fan since the 90s.
Yeah.
We had the Gene Stallings era. Bro, it was dry after that.
Yeah.
It was dry.
Yeah.
We didn't have nothing.
Who they have at coach? What's his name? Miami Dolphins son, wasn't it?
Yeah. Shula.
Yeah, I can't.
Shula.
Yeah.
Shula.
Yeah, Mike Shula.
Dude, we were ass, bro. Yeah. Like, you know, like, so it wasn't like, it was like you had the Bear Bryant era, then you had the Gene Stallings era, and then it was dead until we got Saban, and then it started popping off again. So, it wasn't just me. So, Alabama always had that history, so people weren't coming because of that.
But
Saban knows how to recruit.
See, the thing is what people don't understand is Nick Saban, where was he a head coach at before he came down to the SEC, before LSU, before Alabama? Where was he a head coach at? Michigan fucking State. Okay? Michigan State. So, whether y'all want to believe it or not, the motherfucker's from Michigan. So, he recruits the top athletes out of this fucking state like it's a hotbed. Okay, a lot of his former players that were at MSU, they went pro. Well, guess what? He's going to recruit their kids. He has ties from all over the fucking globe, idiots. Oh, he just can't play ball. Shut the fuck up. That was the dumbest shit I ever heard in my life. But back to what I was saying about the before name, image, and likeness. Alabama's paying these motherfuckers to come near. And you smoking dick if you think they not. There is no fucking way you going to get a kid from an inner city to go to country bumpkin ass Tuscaloosa, Alabama. It ain't that many white bitches in the world to make a brother happy to come down to fucking Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Okay? There's shit to do down there.
There's nothing, bro. I ain't gonna
Not a fucking thing to do down there. All right?
Ain't nothing to do in Tuscaloosa.
I'm sorry. It ain't enough fucking threesomes, foursomes, group orgies, and white girls down there to get a motherfucker to come to Alabama. Regardless of what the fuck y'all want to think or what y'all want to say, the thing is that they are paying these motherfuckers to come down there, and that's why they're winning. They are on another level. These motherfuckers done got their ass whooped for so long that they say, I never want to experience that type of ass whooping ever again, and to be embarrassed. And now that we are on top, we're going to stay on top. But see, Alabama runs a tight ship, and I gotta respect them for it. Because those that are getting paid, you don't discuss it.
Keep their mouth closed.
You keep your mouth shut. Because if you don't go pro, guess what? I got you a nice paying gig here that's gonna pay you $250,000 a year just because you played at Alabama and you was a star. So if you don't go pro, guess what? We got so many ties to motherfucking multi-billionaires, not million, billion with a B. We got so many fucking ties to multi-billionaires. We'll hook you up with $250,000 a year job. You keep your mouth shut. We'll take care of you for life. That is a family down there. Trust me, they're not coming for the goddamn apple pies and the white girls. I keep telling y'all, this shit is a business, and it's been a business before the NIL even got into play. That's why they are ahead of everybody else. That's why they line up all the five-star recruits. And guess what? Guess who's doing the same thing and taking the same page out of Nick Saban's book? He shocked the world this year. Deion. Watch what he do with Jackson State. Watch what he do. Watch. And everybody try to spurn that kid because he put $1.5 million in his pocket for him and his family and told Florida State to kiss his ass. Y'all crazy? Shit, I'm 18 years old. If I can make $1.5 million to get my mama out the projects, I'm going to Jackson State too.
Roller.
Straight up. So that's why this is playing out the way it's playing out. But if you think they just, oh, they just better. No. Mm-mm.
No.
Mm-mm. Shit, your academic regimen ain't that goddamn high. Fuck, a rock can get a fucking academic scholarship to these fucking schools.
Basket weave.
Shit, a rock can get into Alabama.
General studies. Shit. Hey, that's how it is, dude.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so, yeah, the Harbaugh thing, like, when people bring up his record in Michigan, I'm just like, I roll my eyes.
Right. Like, why are you bringing up college shit? Are we bringing up Nick Saban's pro NFL record? Because he couldn't fucking hack it there. Right. Does that make him any less of a great coach because he couldn't hack it in the NFL?
My thing is, look at Harbaugh, though. You know, and people bring up his record in Michigan. You know, he hasn't won yet. He hasn't won yet. It's still a winning record. He's still relevant every single year. They're still up in the, you know, top five, top 10 every year. You know, you look at his resume going back. San Francisco took them to the Super Bowl.
Three straight NFC championship appearances in his first 4 years.
Mm-hmm. Look back further than that. What do you got? Stanford. Look what he did at Stanford.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Produced at Stanford. Andrew Luck produced at Stanford.
Yeah.
So it's like,
look what he did at San Diego State.
Everywhere he's gone, he's won.
He's won.
He's a winner.
So at the end of the day, he knows how to coach. Now, he's handicapped a little bit by that situation. I put something out there, too. About Pat Fitzgerald, right? I think he's a good coach at Northwestern.
Yeah.
Right? I think he's a really good coach. But once again, they got high academic standards, bro. Mm-hmm. You're not getting – you in the Big Ten, and you competing with the likes of Penn State, Michigan State, you know what I mean, Ohio State, Wisconsin, Iowa. You competing with all these teams, all these different programs – And of course, they're going to want to go to those programs rather than Northwestern. But he's still, you know, they had a bad year this year. But for the most part, they're competitive. And to me, that's the sign of a good coach. I'm looking at guys that people are, you know, they slander me or whatever because I say that. But I'm looking at guys, bro, Ryan Day, okay, he may be a good coach. But at the end of the day, he's got every single position sold up. It's hard to fail, bro.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to fail. That's all I'm saying.
Facts.
So when I look at guys who have every single position sold up and they have everything at their disposal, you know, I'm not saying that they're a bad coach. They may be great. They may be good, but it's still a little bit murky as to how good they are. But when I look at a team that has inferior talent like Marvin Lewis, like Pat Fitzgerald, and I see them be competitive and they're good, that lets me know that that's a really good coach. And he knows how to put together his staff.
Facts.
Ryan Day ain't leaving Ohio State because, like we said, he has it too good.
Yeah,
he can get look.
Smith and Jigba. Wants, Smith and Jigba.
Oh my God, dude.
Hey, shout out to Smith and Jigba, man. That young man had 15 catches, 347, and three touchdowns.
And everybody over here was like, Olave.
And he's the better of the three wide receivers. He's he's the best one out of the three. And he's only a sophomore.
Yeah.
He is the reason why the kid at Alabama couldn't crack the roster.
Yeah, yeah. And he went up.
Shit, 347?
Yeah, man, Ryan Day, that Ohio State team is stacked, and he's a god.
Right. Yeah.
Remain a god. Why leave that?
Yeah, so I see Harbaugh taking off from Michigan and coming to coach the Chicago Bears. And given the fact that his ties to Vic Fangio, he could bring him back. The ties to Ed Donatell, the ties to Greg Roman, who's the offensive coordinator right now for the Baltimore Ravens. You know, he can bring assimilate that whole coaching staff that he had there in San Fran and bring them to Chicago. with a tweak here and there, you know?
He is on record saying Chicago Bears.
It's his dream job. Dream job.
That would be that would be the only place you leave Michigan to go to.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And you know.
And again, he's a real good and real close friends with ESPN 1000's Tom Waddle. And him and Tommy Waddle, you know, they remain in contact, whatever. And like Tommy said, if he was to ever leave Michigan, one of the spot, you know, his dream job is to be a head coach for the Chicago Bears. Why not?
I would like to dress up with the Hardball thing, man. I had somebody, I'm not even going to call him out by name, dude, because I'm not with the Twitter beat. But somebody said it to the fans who want John Harbaugh.
I seen that stupid shit.
You're a meathead Chicago Bears fan. Don't be a meathead Chicago Bears fan.
Yeah, I seen that stupid shit. I seen that. Like, really, bro? Really? Really? Really?
Like, what makes you wonder about people sometimes, man?
What makes it meathead to want a winner? you okay with getting your ass whooped every day? Man, what? I see people like that. I have to believe that they have no like fight in them at all. You know what I'm saying? You have like no spine. You get up and get kicked in the nuts every fucking day, and you just go to sleep. You just lay down and say, "Oh, it's okay." Like, oh no, it's okay. Like nothing pisses you off. So if a motherfucker just hauled off and socked the shit out of you dead in the face every morning, you would be okay with that. Like, oh, okay, he didn't mean it. No, fuck that. Fuck that. I'm trying
to. I think they want offensive gurus, man.
Look.
You know?
Give us some nastiness, right? Mm-hmm. Give us some nastiness. Give us some dog. Give us a motherfucker with just a, you know, I noticed, you know, with Jim Harbaugh, notice how he dialed his temperament down when he got to Michigan. Because when he was on the sideline with the Niners, he was cussing, spitting, and everything else. And didn't give a damn. You know what I'm saying? But when he got to Michigan, he had to dial it down and scale it back. You know, you're dealing with kids and not grown-ass people now. Mm-hmm. Remember, Jim Harbaugh was ready to motherfucking box with, what was the Lions coach at the time? He was,
Oh, yeah, I remember him.
After the game and shit, when he won, and the Lions coach ran up on him, and he turned around like, what the fuck is your problem? And Harbaugh was ready to square up. Harbaugh was like, get the fuck out of my face. Damn, what was my man? Anyway, he was ready to box with him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Jim Schwartz. That's who it was.
Yeah, Jim Schwartz. Yeah.
He was ready to box with Jim Schwartz. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, bro, we need that type of coach that's going to hold people accountable. I would love to go to three straight NFC championships as a Bears fan. Like,
people allow all that. What? Can you imagine Jim Harbaugh allowing all that just lack of discipline?
Yeah. No,
he gonna be like, he gonna snatch your ass off the field right there.
Get your ass the boot. Yeah, he gonna be like, get the fuck off the field. Straight up.
We're the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, straight up. So, look, Christmas already came early because we got Justin Fields, but man, this city would be on fire.
And he had a front row seat to see the magic of Justin Fields.
Yeah.
His heart out.
Yeah.
He knows Justin Fields.
Three straight years getting kicked in the dick. Three straight years. Now imagine he looking at that. And imagine, look, he had Colin Kaepernick, right? And Colin Kaepernick he took the Niners to a whole different damn stratosphere. He the one that turned around Alex Smith's career in San Fran. Alex Smith was floundering around, and then Jim Harbaugh came.
Yeah, he put it together.
And he put it together. And they got to their first NFC championship that year. And then the next year, he's like, look, all right, man, I'm going to have to let you go. You know, it's time for Colin Kaepernick. Now, you had Colin Kaepernick. Now he got Justin Fields. Imagine what he can do with that. Imagine, you know how just ruthless and how just polarizing that 49ers defense was with Patrick Willis and Navarro Bowman and all them. That was Fangio having that defense like that.
Fangio was with him in Stanford too.
Yeah, Fangio was with him in Stanford. Mm-hmm. If
Fangio get fired, he definitely would come with Jim Harbaugh.
That's what I'm saying. The stars is aligning too much for this to happen. like the stars aligned for us to get Justin Fields. Too much. It was just too much of the right thing. Like, look.
Oh, he would make Justin Fields a star, like you said.
Oh my God.
He was there. Greg Roman was there too in San Francisco with
yes.
Cap, and then Greg mm-hmm. Roman went with his brother.
Yep.
In Baltimore. Right.
Yeah.
There with Jackson. So Jim Harbaugh knows how to build an offensive system to fit Justin Fields.
Yes.
Right.
Justin Fields would explode. So even if he couldn't get Greg Roman because he's an offensive coordinator, he would get somebody. He knows the next Greg Roman.
Yeah.
That's the point. Remember what we're saying? Like,
the connections.
He has the contacts.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, I can't get Greg Roman, but I know who knows how to run that system exactly like Greg Roman. I'm going to get him.
Well, I got somebody
he's
better.
From my tree.
Yeah.
He's from my tree. Yeah. Greg Roman is from Jim Harbaugh's tree. So you have people like, no, we own Greg Roman. That's Jim Harbaugh.
Right.
Yeah.
You think Greg Roman just suddenly came up with that whole offensive system by himself?
Exactly.
And what I do like about, and I've said it time and time again, I've said it on this podcast, one thing that I give Baltimore credit for is you got Lamar Jackson in that offense, right? And you got, you know, he's limited. Let's just be real. Lamar,
absolutely.
I like Lamar, but passing the ball, he's not as good of a passer
as Justin Fields.
Most guys are. Yeah, Justin Fields is better. So, you know, but they were able to put an offense in and create an offense around him that helped him get the MVP of the league. To me, that's offensive genius.
Yep.
Not what Nagy does. Nagy takes a guy and puts them in his system and says, hey, do this, do this, do this, do this, do this, regardless of what their talent and skill set is. But they are able to create an offense around a specific skill set from a player. To me, that's offensive genius.
Facts.
You know what I'm saying?
Facts. Preach. I Facts. Love Jim Harbaugh, bro.
Yeah, I want him here so bad. I want him here so bad. I want him here so bad.
Like, that's why I said it's either him or Todd Bowles.
He'll be a rock star. He'll be a rock star in Chicago.
He would own this city.
And I wouldn't be opposed to either one of those. Another one that I would throw in there is Leslie Frazier.
Yes.
You know, but any of those guys, any of those three that we mentioned, I mean, Greg, you know, Jim Harbaugh, you know, like I said, I like Marvin Lewis because I know he's going to stay out the way. He ain't, you know, I just want to lead the team. I want to get the guys motivated, let my coordinators do their job. You know what I mean? Trust them to do their job. And I think he has connections as well. And they go back to the days with Tony Dungy and that whole tree right there. So that's why I mentioned him. And of course, you know, what Roy said as well. I mean, those three guys, those are nice options, man.
Yeah. Marvin Lewis ain't a bad coach. That's why I never, he gets like overlooked
a lot.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
A he lot. Gets overlooked. He gets overlooked. Like people don't think about it. Cause he coached in Cincinnati for so long, like 15 years.
Right.
But you look at him, he has a winning record.
Yeah.
He went to the playoffs, you know, with Andy Dalton.
Sorry ass. Yeah.
We saw what Andy Dalton.
Man, you should have heard everybody in the stands like yesterday. Come on, Ginger! Ginger, you fucking suck! Like, damn.
He's painful to watch, man.
Man, that's brutal.
At least Nick Foles got YOLO. He got that YOLO well. You know, Nick Foles will slang that thing. He'd be like, you know what? I'm slanging it.
Watching Andy Dalton play is like watching my man from Any Given Sunday. You know, when he was playing, he was like seeing ghosts and shit.
Yeah.
His wife slapped his ass because he said he ain't want to play football no more.
Yeah.
Like, damn.
Was it Rand Refford? Was it Refford?
Yeah. This is
man.
Your decision. This is my decision. She just slapped the shit.
That's why when people be like, oh, I think Andy Dalton might be a better quarterback. I'm like, what are you watching?
Man, they blowing dicks,
somebody,
bro.
Oh man, somebody said something about that.
What are you
like,
watching?
Why isn't what did they say? Somebody said something like, why isn't, you know, Justin Fields? Oh, they said somebody panned to Justin Fields, and you know, they said, oh, he looked like he depressed. He want to be out there. And somebody said, well, he need to be worried about why he can't move the offense like these.
I've seen that stupid shit too. Yeah, that was, bruh.
Now where they come up with this stuff, bro, is I
swear that last game, oh my God, he just couldn't score in a red zone for crap because Nagy just can't design anything in the red zone.
Man, that shit get brutal, bro, after a while. You get tired of hearing the stupid shit. Like, man, you really said that out your mouth, okay. But hey.
That's why I be muting these dudes, man. I'm like, I can't even like argue with you, bro.
Speaking of stupid shit, trash ass tweet of the week.
Yeah, let's get to it.
What y'all got, man?
I got one. Hold on.
That's the one I sent y'all, right? Did I send y'all that? Or which one is it we talking about?
Yeah, you tagged me in it. Did I put it in the? Yeah, I put it in the thread. It's from, and he's a veteran. So, come on, bro, you're making us look bad. You were from a different era. So I don't know how you got you veterans back then. Hey, he was coming at our homegirl, ABQ Bears girl.
Yeah, coming at Allison, man, with his stupid ass.
And the homegirl. Shout out to Allison. Man.
Shout out to Allison. Shout out to Allison.
Big shout out.
You're missing my point, exclamation mark. Bears fans think Fields is all that. But from what I've seen, he's going to be Trubisky or Grossman at best.
With the exclamation point.
At best, bro. I have probably 40 years of experience of watching this first round QB picks. Do your research on Bears history of QB and you'll see who's the dumbass. Middle finger.
Get the fuck out of here. Get the fuck out of here. Get the fuck out of here.
Grossman, bro.
Bro, he tripping.
What Justin Fields' skill set reminds you of Rex Grossman?
He got to be the dumbest motherfucker in the world. And seriously, like right up under that, I had put on that tweet. I was like, is he serious?
I think I commented on it. I said, you as dumb as you look.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like that was the dumbest shit I ever heard in my life.
I said something about, yeah, sometimes, you know, being alive, you can have experience, but sometimes you're just an old fool, and I think you're an old fool.
Yeah, it's for real, man. That's an old fool. I have 40-plus years of experience of what? I ain't watching football. Yeah, because you ain't watching the damn game, so what you watching, dick?
At best, though. He said Trubisky or Grossman at best.
At
best, though.
Wow.
But the Grossman thing.
That's his ceiling.
Yeah.
But Grossman, they don't even have similar skill sets.
At all.
Than he had a strong arm. Like, at least Mitch, like, okay, he can move. Mitch can move.
That's where it ends.
That's where it ends.
That's where it ends.
Grossman just could throw the ball far. That's all he could do. He had bad eyesight, little hands.
Burger King shorter. Hands.
Burger King you know hands. He couldn't move. He was slow.
He had depth perception issues.
Fucking small hands, motherfucker.
Look down the field and think somebody 10 yards down the field. He's really 7 yards down the field.
He sucked. All right? He sucked.
Oh,
like, dude, you serious right now? But hey.
They out there, man. They whatever. Out there bad, bro.
Yeah, it's they crazy. They down bad on that shit.
They exposing themselves. And I see people and they saying it. They like, hold on, man. How we give Mitch Trubisky 4 years?
And can't get and my man get, a year. We can't even get him 2.
Not even a year.
Not even not a even game.
Year.
Shit.
Oh, he's missed. How many games has he missed?
Yeah. Broke his ribs and ankles. And
he didn't play the first 2. Right?
I think total Justin Fields probably played about 6 or 7 games this season.
I'm going to look it up.
Starting.
And this is a horrible position. Like Mitch was in a horrible position his rookie year. That was a horrible position.
Yeah, and it's rinse, wash, repeat. That's why they getting the main culprit the fuck up out of there.
And yeah. I think that's the biggest problem that I have with people is that they wanna critique the guy. And clearly he's been handicapped. It's clear, bro. It's not even I call this sabotage. People don't want to call it sabotage, so let's call it handicap. He's been hindered in the process of growth, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's been. He hasn't been put in the best position to win and do well. That's clear to see. So it's hard to even evaluate these guys. Guys like him, how can I evaluate him with a clear conscience? How can I evaluate Cole Kmet with a clear conscience? And by the way, Cole Kmet, shout out to him. I like that catch he made when he was coming across yesterday.
Yeah.
And he caught the ball between 2 defenders.
Yeah.
Held on to it. Went, man, that, and he took the shot. That was a nice catch. But, you know, how do you evaluate those guys, man? You can't. You really can't.
Like, look at David Montgomery's stat this year. You know what I mean? Like, and we know he's good. Like,
I don't even think he's cracking 1,000 yards, is he?
No, he's not. Mooney's exceeding, expired at him.
Y'all realize
not because of him.
The Bears are number 5 in the league in rushing as a team, and they don't run the ball.
Yeah.
don't run the ball.
Yeah.
Think about that. Imagine if they put concerted effort into running the ball. The Bears could be the number 1 team rushing.
Yeah, running it down your throat. And what does Jim Harbaugh like to do?
Right now.
What does Jim Harbaugh like to do when he was with the Niners? Run that damn thing down your throat.
Oh, yeah. Frank Gore. Ooh.
Yeah. Slave feet is what I like to call them. That motherfucker be running hard, boy. Like, god damn, look at Slade feet. That motherfucker be that motherfucker be running, dog.
But Harbaugh was good at, because he would throw the ball too, though.
Yep, so, he would mix it in. He would
use that, and set up the play.
That's what I'm saying. When we're saying, like, people don't understand, you can still be a running team and pass the ball. It's not like, you know, you're out here putting up 1,800 yards like you were doing back in the day with Jim Miller, you know?
Right.
You can still be a prolific running passing team like the Seahawks always were when they had Marshawn Lynch. Mm-hmm. They were a running team, but Russ would always get his yards, get his stats.
Right.
And that's what type of quarterback we think Justin Fields is, man. That goes back to what I'm saying. Goes back to identity.
They'll eat their words next year. They'll eat their words. And then they'll, I never said.
I got receipts.
Right.
Sometimes when they post a tweet, I go through that. I'm like, okay, and I see who the ones are. Some of our fault. They be posting stuff, and they won't post it out in the open. They'll get up in the comments. I don't believe in them either. I don't think we should have kept the last guy. And I think a lot of it is that, dude. You got the little remnants of the Mitch guy still.
Yeah.
So they're slandering Justin because their guy didn't work out, or that guy got ran out of town. And
it's like, man, move on, bro. Move on, man.
I don't know how you do that, bro. I don't know how you do that. Like, I thought we should have kept Cutler. You don't see me crying, you know?
Right. Me personally, I thought we should have got rid of Jay Cutler and kept motherfucking McCown, because he ran the offense better.
Yeah.
He ran Tressman shit to perfection.
Yeah. Well, you know who actually would have been the best quarterback McCown
was
that time?
Old, though, man. He was old.
Was Kyle Orton. Kyle Orton actually ran the offense pretty damn decent, dude.
Yeah, he did.
Brian Hurd, like I said, he felt they should have kept Kyle Orton and shouldn't have traded for Jay Cutler, and they could have kept that draft pick.
Yeah, not only that, but they should have went to Kyle Orton in the fucking Super Bowl. Maybe we'd have a ring.
Yeah, you're right, because he went 11-5 his rookie year.
Yeah, went on a 10-game. He went on a 10-game winning streak.
Yeah, at the 205. But that's neither here nor there. We all got our guys that didn't work out. So, and I was like, hey, bro, get behind Justin. I think people didn't really start jumping off the Mitch thing until like year three. They at least gave him a little time. You know, but damn. And I'm like, bro, you ain't even let the guy play a whole season. This season's a mess. Yo, lame as hell for that. Lame as hell.
Fuck him.
Goof ass boy.
Straight up.
Hey, shout out to Devin Hester, man, too.
Shout out to D. Hess, man, finalist for Pro Football Hall of Fame. He definitely should be a first ballot candidate. He's one of the NFL's 100 greatest players of all time.
Yeah.
One of the NFL's 100 greatest. And you don't make that list if you're not a guaranteed Hall of Famer. And he needs to be a bona fide first ballot Hall of Famer, which I expect to see him there.
Windy City Flyer, you are ridiculous.
I definitely expect to see my dude there. So if he ain't there, it's going to be some trouble. For real. How the hell can you be one of the NFL's greatest of all time? One of the NFL's 100 greatest players of all time. You in there with the likes of Lawrence Taylor. You in there with the likes of Joe Montana. You in there with the likes of Dick Butkus. You in there with the likes of Jerry Rice. Jerry Rice.
Yes.
100 greatest. Like, there's so many motherfuckers that played in the NFL, but only 100 GOATs ever in NFL history, and he's one of them.
No one's ever done what he done. And we've had some great returners. Deion Sanders is great. There's so many of them, dude.
Facts.
But he was the best.
Facts.
It wasn't even close.
No, it wasn't close at all.
Close.
Facts.
You could not kick to that man. You just couldn't.
He changed the game. He changed how teams viewed not only has he changed how the common fan views special teams, but he also changed how teams would approach kickoffs and punts.
Yeah.
He made you account for him.
He made you account for him, and it got to the point where this is how good he was. He was so good that teams purposely gave up bad field position.
Yeah, they would kick the ball out of bounds.
Yep.
We'd rather give you the ball at the 35 or 40 yard line than let him touch the ball. Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'll take that. We'll kick the ball out. We'll take the penalty.
That's crazy.
That's crazy, dude. This is NFL, man. Grown ass man, man. Also, we can do shout outs. I want to give a shout out to Parker Dickerson, man.
Jeff
Dickerson, if many of y'all don't know, lost his life to cancer. Parker lost both his mom and his dad to cancer.
Mm-hmm.
So Bears fans, man, stepped it up, and he has a over $1 million.
He got over $1 million. I think it's over 1.5. He got over $1.5 million and a half right now.
Everybody stepped up. Bears, you know, NFL.
NFL.
So that was beautiful in such a tragic time.
I think I'll give some credit too, I think the Packers.
The Packers donated,
an organization donated, what was it, 25,000 or something like that? So, you know what I mean? That's pretty cool. We hate the Packers, of course, but you know what I mean? That was nice because sometimes humanity dictates that you do some things that are right. You know what I mean? Mm. So that was cool, man. That was cool to do that.
Yeah, man, that was dope, man. That's tough for that young man, but you know, I'm sure he's feeling love from his father. You know, and I was listening to Hogan John's podcast, and they had a bunch of people on, and like Jeff just seemed like a good dude.
Yeah, he was.
Like, if you were new to the beat, he was the guy that came up, usually standing there like, "Oh, what the hell I'm doing?" He like, "Hey, what's up, man? I'm gonna show you the ropes."
Right.
You know.
Yeah. He's good people.
He was having a big time, man. So we lost one. I ain't know him personally. But I listened to him and read his articles for so long, bro, that you feel like you know him.
Right. You know? Exactly.
You know, so shout out to him, man. Shout out to everybody that helped out with that. So, and my other shout out is AB Cute Bears Girls, Allison. Shout out to her.
Yeah, shout out to Allison. Allie.
We had you back. And the BDR crew, man, Ryan, Brendan, Patrick, and Nick, they had us on. You know, they love our show. So they had us on. And I was like, hey, man, we got to do a mashup one day at it.
Mm-hmm.
Extravaganza of the Three Kings and the BDR guys, man. So
that was my shout out, man. Mine too.
That's what's up, man. I had pretty much the same shout outs, man. Shout out to you know, some of the people that just follow us, man. People that follow us, people that have been rocking with us. We, you know, we drawing to the end of the season, but we about to go into the off season. And we still going to be producing stuff. We still going to be getting stuff out. We got a lot of stuff on the horizon that we trying to put together.
Facts.
And get out. You know what I mean? So, you know, keep rocking with us, man. We appreciate y'all. We appreciate everything that people do when it comes to, you know, even promoting us, putting us out there. And we got a lot of stuff in plans, man. So keep rocking with us. And that's pretty much it, man. You know, shout out to the usual suspects. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man. Facts. Hopefully 2022 is a little bit more stable than 2021.
Yeah.
2020, it's been like a crazy couple years, bro.
It's been like, brutal.
It's been brutal, man. So
it's been brutal.
Everybody stay safe out there. Also, one last shout out. I want to give a shout out to Terrence Young. I guess he's a finalist for like being like a Hall of Fame fan.
Terrence, M. Young,
shout out to that brother. I guess the only fan from the Bears that made it was the Bear Man, you know, the dude that wear the bear suit.
So
shout out to him. So it's cool knowing somebody that you follow, that follows you back, you know, that you interact with on Twitter is doing that, you know what I mean? Shout out to
Terrence
him.
Got a lot of ties, man. Got a lot of ties to that dude, Bears organization.
Every time he has a picture with JD, like, oh, I got a picture. That's why he's always at the event, bro.
Yeah.
I'm about to get my weight up one day, and I'm
straight up
a Bear fan like that.
He got a lot of ties to the organization.
I said, I need to be a Bear fan like that, bro. I need to be up in them balls.
Straight
meeting,
up.
Meeting Thomas Jones and, you know, Lance Briggs now, man. Shit, I want to be there too, man. I want to hang out on the crew.
Right. I can't know everybody. Like, hey, yeah, I met you through Terrence, man. You know Terrence? Yeah, straight up. Shout out to Terrence, man. Shout out to Terrence. Straight up.
I thought that was cool. I thought that was cool, too, man. So, man, that's all I got, man.
Hey, round of applause for all the shout outs, man, for everybody. You know what I'm saying? Had to get them all in, especially ABQ, Bears Girl, Allison.
She be holding it down.
She definitely holding it down.
My little savage, because she be out there. She be fighting everybody.
She right.
She go at it.
Hey, she be ready.
No pulling punches, bro.
She be ready. She be ready to go. She be ready to go at the word go. Straight up.
They be thinking she a girl that they going to just talk to her.
Right. She know her shit. She definitely know her shit.
Yeah, they're like, we got her back though. We ain't got her back. Like, y'all simping. No, she the homie.
Nah, for real. Like, y'all tripping. Straight up.
Nah, that's a little sis. You can't be rolling up on her like that.
Exactly.
They made that dude, he privated his account after that.
Right, exactly. That's what the fuck you get. Saying stupid shit.
Hiding.
Dumb motherfucker.
He wouldn't hide. Yeah.
That's so what's up, y'all.
Hey, that's thank y'all for.
Oh, and last thing, man, I just want to say, you know, shout out to. No, it's not even a shout out. I just find it funny. It's funny to me, comical, the whole situation with Antonio Bryant.
Oh,
Brown,
oh, yeah.
Antonio Brown. That was just funny to me. So, you know, shout out to man for the organization, how they handled it so far.
Oh,
has been good in my opinion. Like Tom Brady. You know he pissed, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah.
But to hold it down and just be like, you know what? Hey man, hopefully he gets the help he needs and move on.
I think Brady genuinely cares about AB. Yeah, he does. You know what I'm saying?
I think he does too.
He's just but like he's not all the way there.
You gotta be pissed though, bro.
Yeah. But you they still got Mike Evans though, man. You know what I'm saying? They still got Mike Evans.
We ain't feeling sorry for him either.
No. You don't want to be dropping AB. You just lost Godwin. You got to face the Packers and bro.
Yeah.
Oh. NFL, and I'm calling the NFL out too because they do this nonsense. They set it up to where the Packers can get home field advantage and make everybody have to go up there and play. Why are the Packers playing on Sunday night football in Green Bay instead of playing during the day?
Yeah.
Chris Collinsworth.
No, because they wanted to be close.
The nostalgia of Lambeau Field and
the like, frozen tundra.
Right.
Let me give y'all some clues too. It ain't no frozen tundra. Let's be real about it. They got heaters underneath the field.
Exactly.
Just letting y'all know. Just letting y'all know. It ain't cold up there. Your feet are nice and toasty on that field. Trust me.
Absolutely.
The frozen tundra, Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers, the Devontae Adams. Oh my God, I can't believe it. They're so amazing.
Our field is more frozen than that shit. Soldier Field is more frozen than that shit at Green Bay.
Exactly.
Chris Collinsworth pisses me off. I can't even watch him, dude. Bro, I cut the game off. I can't even watch him.
Yeah, you got to watch
Chris Collinsworth need to sign a contract with Brazzers for all the deep throating he be doing, bro. Straight up. Dog need to sign a contract with Brazzers for Deep Throat Love, starring Chris Collinsworth.
He be on it. I'm telling you.
My God.
Better than
everybody sees it too. Everybody sees it too. Even other fans, they're like, "Oh my God, dude!"
Throat babies, man. My God.
Better than I'm telling you. Better than Nancy Reagan, bro.
Hey, better than Jenna. Better than Jenna Jackson. Jenna Jackme, that's her name. Yeah. Jenna Jackme.
Well, hey, they said Nancy was getting down, bro.
Nancy was getting
down. Yeah, they said she was the fluff. She was the fluff queen. Fluff and nutter. Fluff and nutter.
And that son, he was like, hey, Ronald, give my best to Nancy.
Yeah. Yeah, she was fluff and nutter, man. Fluff and nutter queen.
Shout out to the goat.
Goat throat. The goat throat, Nancy Reagan.
All right, we off the rails.
Nah.
That's it, man.
Throatus.
We out.
Yeah, man. I'll take it easy.